Well, it's Roundup Sunday, but our rounding up didn't do so good so far. I hope somebody's got a herd waiting around the corner fixing to come in about 11, maybe. Anyway, I was asking around this morning if anybody knew how many Roundup Sundays we'd had from the first one on. I was looking through a scrapbook, and of course, I think the first one, Sheriff Lawrence Crowe was sheriff, and Grady Judd was his right-hand man. I remember saying back then, I believe Brother Judd would be the next sheriff. That's been a lot of years, a lot of Roundup Sundays since then. Sure has. I went to get my boots out, Brother Bert. I really planned on wearing them, but they didn't plan on me wearing them. They're dried and cracked. I'd had to take a razor to cut them pieces to put them on. So I just threw them in the garbage and said, so what? Don't matter. No, I tell you what, when I was a kid, I thought they'd be fun too, but I found out they were not near that much fun. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of John. We're still going chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Just going to try to finish up chapter 15, the last few verses of it. And I got to thinking about this portion of scripture right here. I think I'll just read through, beginning at about verse 23. Read right on through the end here and then come back and talk about it some. Let's just start in verse 22. Jesus is speaking, of course. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. What we would say about this is they're sinning against the light. They're sinning against their better knowledge. They're sinning against what they know is right. Everybody likes to make an excuse, I didn't know. Truth is, we all know more than we want to admit, especially when it comes to right and wrong. If you're a Christian, certainly the Holy Spirit whispers to you very clearly when it's right or when it's wrong. But even if you're not saved, God gave us a conscience. He wrote on our hearts, the Bible says, with a pen of iron, with a diamond point, His law. Even in the heathen jungles, people that have never had a preacher come, I've had missionaries tell me they still knew it was wrong to murder. They still knew it was wrong to commit adultery. Some of the basic laws of the Word of God written on their hearts, just like the Bible says. But anyway, what we've got in our subject right here, as we read through it here just a little bit, come on down, verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. We're going to talk about this subject here of hate. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. You'll know where it originates. It's really against God. But there cometh, cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Now that's Psalms 135, the exact statement, as the psalmist wrote about. We know that Jesus is saying this is fulfilled now in his local ministry before he went to the cross. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Folks, you cannot separate Jesus and truth. He said in John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And somebody said a long time ago, and it's so true, that all truth is God's truth. We can switch sides of the street and say that all hate and all evil is Satan's side. In fact, as we read about the love of God, we realize there's no way to define it all. I mean, a love beyond totally expressing with our human inability. But at the same time, you swing back and hate goes the other way just as far as God's love goes the right way. And boy, are we ever seeing that today. Hate goes back to the Father, verse 22. So what is it today that hate is really directed at? You say it's politics. No, it's not. It's godly values. In other words, it's values that started with God. What God says is right is despised by so many of the population today. And here's the thing. He said, no cloak for their sin. For so long, mankind could kind of hide it. But the cover's been pulled off now. It's out in the open. You can't hardly watch a news program without seeing it expressed all kind of ways. Unbelievable how bold they are to be against God. I said the other day, a guy was up there plucking a guitar and hollering, we don't want your salvation. You will run breath after you don't have a second breath, brother. Sad truth is, though, that hate is very real today. In spite of the works they saw Jesus do here, they still rejected him, expressed their hate, and that hate was finally expressed, of course, on the cross. They wanted to crucify him. They did crucify him. As the psalmist predicted, they were mad at him, hated him without a cause. Now, that's a supernatural hate when you think about it. It's one thing for a couple of guys to get mad at each other, a couple of people to get mad and even imagine they hate each other. It's something else when you direct your hate at God, at the godly things, at the Word of God, the values that could start with God. It's something else. That's a supernatural hate. Now, I ask you to go to a scripture you're probably very familiar with. Turn back to the book of Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 14, and we'll look at the beginning of it. Of course, this is talking about the fall of Lucifer, of the devil. And pick it up in verse 12 when you get there of Isaiah 14. Keep looking. I'll start reading for the sake of time. By the way, the new versions kind of mess this up. They mess up the word Lucifer. Take it out. They want to make him the angel, good angel, instead of a bad one, of course. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, they want to mix the son of the morning up with Jesus. I'm not going to go off on that except to say Lucifer is the fallen one. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? I want you to notice, weaken the nations. Say, what's the trouble with the world? Here it is. The nations are weak because of the devil, weak on righteousness. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. You say, where's the throne of God? Well, it's above the stars, it says here. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. North star is a directional thing people go by. It points north. God's throne is much further than we could ever imagine above it, but that's the direction. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Who's talking? The devil's talking. Lucifer. That's what he's saying. That's what his plan was. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now that's God's answer to him. You tried to put yourself above me in your pride, but you're going to come down all the way. Sometime we read in the book of Revelation about the bottomless pit, and somebody says, how could it be a pit without a bottom? It's described right here. It's got sides, but it has no bottom. Truth is, if you could imagine a big donut with a hole in the middle, and you fall in the outside, you could circle that donut right on and never have a bottom. We didn't even imagine that ourselves, but God has got a pit. It's got sides, but no bottom. It's created. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Now look at it in verse 16. They that see thee, thou, when he gets to hell, those that he's misled and caused to be there, going to say something to him. They're going to recognize him. Look at it here in verse 16. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? Got to remember, Satan uses men. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Especially think on that, shake kingdoms. What we got today is a warfare of the kingdoms, Satan's influence that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities. Isn't that interesting how the King James is so accurate? What do we see in the news? Cities being destroyed, mobs on the street, all the hate being spoused. The cities is where the big population accumulates. It's where they get bold enough to go out in the street and throw rocks at the police and so forth. That's what we're seeing today. That opened not the prison of the house of his prisoners. This is Satan that's describing here in Isaiah 14. Somebody says, well, why did God create hate? He created the devil, perfect to begin with, but in his pride he fell, and his hate is directed at God. And what we see with humankind today, obeying the devil, the hate of anything righteous, anything pure, they rejoice so much at some of them still are about the death of Charlie Kirk. What did they hate him for? They hated him because he stood for home, marriage, freedom, children, decency. Hated for that. You can understand somebody saying, I hate the guy that murders. I hate the guy that does all this bad. No, hating the guy that does the good stuff. The Bible says that day would come. Also in the book of Isaiah, says the day will come that they will call evil good and good evil. Calling good evil today. That's where the hate is directed today. That is good. So it's a supernatural hatred. You know, all through the Bible, if you go all the way back, Old Testament, you find the wars of the Old Testament. You find there was a right side and a wrong side. You find the devil's always had a people that he could muster and get out to fight against the things of God. Better be careful today. Sides are being chosen up like never before. And the truth is, we're seeing it, hearing it. I saw on the news a little bit this week, somebody that said was a school teacher, was going around in the mob, taking her finger like a gun, shooting in her neck, mocking the way where the bullet hit Charlie Kirk. A school teacher, so you couldn't claim ignorance. She's got an education. And you have so many different things like that now that is showing up. Hate being expressed like it never has been expressed before. And that's what Jesus is saying. If they hated me, they're going to hate you when you represent me. They hated me because they hated my Father. So it comes all the way back to Satan trying to take God's place, put himself above God. So what we're seeing play out on planet Earth today is a warfare of the kingdoms. Which kingdom's going to win? Which kingdom's going to finally be the final kingdom? You and I know it's going to be God's, but there's a lot of people that believe Satan's going to win. You actually have people today, I've mentioned this a few times, you have people today that actually worship Satan boldly. I remember when my son was pretty young, be riding down the road and we're talking about the Bible, talking about things, talking about maybe something I preached or whatever. He said, well, Daddy, you say that God's going to win. How do we know he's going to win? They hadn't fought yet. I'd say, son, we got God's word, and yes, he's going to lose. He may think he's going to win. I don't think he thinks it anymore. I think he knows his time is gone, and he's doing all the damage he can. But that's a human question we might ask. They hadn't fought yet. But I'll tell you what, we're choosing sides. I want to be on the winning side, don't you? We see in our day a great increase in this hatred. No longer just politics, much worse than that. Our government's supposed to be shut down right now, and some folks are already feeling the pain of that. What we got going on is a warfare of good and evil. It's not just political issues. What they're fighting over today is still the kingdom. What's being fought over in America today especially, and America's pretty well leading the world on it, but the wrong side, Satan's side, is wanting to bring in his kingdom. We've got other words for it. We can use the word globalism, unite all the nation into one, all the world into one, all the nations into one. Guess who wants to be their king? The devil, of course. Oh yeah, he'll have a man, just like he had Judas, he'll have an Antichrist and all of that. But we're seeing that day being put together. A whole part of the hatred directed at Donald Trump is he's not playing ball with the globalist crowd. He's rejecting them. He's not going along. He's just a human. We can't put all our trust in a president or a king or anybody. They're men. He makes some mistakes here and there. But the devil is pulling every trick he can right now to deceive the world, because he wants to be the man, ultimate man, that gets the glory and becomes the king, so to speak, the leader of the globalist nations and the Antichrist kingdom, we call it quite often. You know, the push for globalism now. I think about all the hate, so-called, in the politics. Just think about just bits and pieces I pick up on the news here or there. Can't watch too much of it. I get too tired of it. But it is amazing. I heard James Carville now. I hate to even use his name. He's the one that was kind of instrumental back, I guess, with the statement, "It's the economy, stupid," back in the Clinton presidency. Did you hear what he said? He said, basically said all the Republicans, that would be me and you or everybody that voted for Trump, that they ought to take us and put on orange pajamas on us, put us all out in the street, march us through the streets and let people spit on us. He's not going to have his way, of course, but that kind of hate being expressed. There's a guy running for attorney general in Virginia that spoke about his opponent, said he would like to take, he said, if I had two or three bullets, he'd two of them would kill the opponent, and then I'd take the others and kill his kids in front of his wife. Oh, yeah, I was in the news, just bold about it, bold about it. Here's the sad part. His political party will not even acknowledge what he said and be against him for it. If there's such a thing as selling your soul to the devil, there's a big crowd in America that's done that. For a little quick, temporary, earthly power, they totally pretend they don't know the difference in a man and a woman, right and wrong, good and evil. Don't know the difference. What a joke. They do know the difference. They know it all the time. Just don't want to admit it. Amen? Push for globalism is a big thing now. You and I that know the Bible, we're expecting the secret, mysterious rapture to take place for the believers, for those that are saved. We're expecting that. Believe it's going to happen most any time. But what we're seeing now is the crowd that's going to rule when we're gone. They'll have no opposition when we're gone, basically. The tribulation, if you know the Bible, you know that following the rapture, there'll be a tribulation period. Book of Daniel gives us the dates pretty much on it, the years. It's a 7-year period. Jeremiah calls it the day of Jacob's trouble. It'd be a day when the Jews are persecuted by the Antichrist until the Lord Jesus comes back and they recognize him as their Messiah. We understand that is close. So what we're seeing building now is the government and what's going on in that 7 years when the Holy Spirit has allowed the believers to be called out. Folks, I think we're a lot closer than people believe. When I was in school, most of you remember this, communism was a dirty word. Now there's a man about to be elected mayor of New York City that's a communist. Not only a communist, but a Muslim. If you know anything about the Muslim religion, it is awful. Folks try to speak of it as just another faith. No, it's not. It's not a faith. It's denial of the faith. Denies that Jesus ever lived, that he was the Son of God, that he was ever crucified, that he ever rose again. Denies all that. And their motive behind them is hatred, not love. Get your head cut off. Get your hand cut off. All that. They still do that. Listen, they still practice that religion today. A lot of folks think that was in the past. That is still their doctrine today. And every now and then it gets even in the news where it's happened. But we're looking into our day and time, we're seeing a great increase of this hatred that Jesus is talking about here in this passage. Young people being deceived today between, I hear a lot of young people going to vote for this guy that's communist to be mayor in New York. They think, well, communism must be good. You need to understand the biggest mass graves that's ever been uncovered on planet Earth was people that were killed by communism. Capitalism is what America has from the beginning. Capitalism is freedom. Communism is slavery. I was talking about throwing my boots in the garbage a while ago. I bought those boots when we were about to make our first trip to Russia, getting some Bibles in. We had a couple of trips over there. I bought them because of the cold weather over there. I learned enough on those trips, even though Perestroika was going and they were getting relief from the heavy hand of communism, to go and see how the people had been put in jail for having nothing more than a Sunday school or being caught with a Bible. It was unbelievable. We talked to those people. We were in the homes of preachers that spent from 12 to 15 years in jail for nothing but the crime of trying to have a Bible class, a Sunday school class. Nothing more than that. Again, if the kids could just see the end of communism is the bad part. We today in America, we look at our citizens. Some of them might have a little more money than others and all that, but basically, while we gripe about it, we're blessed in America. Most of us have too much to eat, and sometimes even all the things that we can do without that get us in trouble. That's not true in Russia, even now. It's been worse sometimes in the past. Some of you ladies that go in the grocery store and you just walk around, you pick out what you want to pick out. You go to Russia and walk around and see what you can find, anything you can find in those so-called grocery stores. I went in there. I saw it. We ate in a home where the lady that prepared our noon meal for us preachers waited all day long to buy one small chicken. We saw the fish truck that was going to deliver to the fish market come up to the back door, but the crowd outside was so big they didn't have time to put them in the coolers, let people come and pick out which fish they wanted. The people went to the truck, getting it off the truck. We watched that. Dr. Lee, were you in that? We watched that. And I'm just telling you, go over and get a little taste of it, and you'll find out how good you got it. And we better be thankful to God that we have, but we're going to lose it. I believe the Lord's coming before we're going to totally lose it, but we're losing it inch by inch now. I used to preach the day, according to their own doctrine, they used to preach that communism would take over America without firing a shot. Anybody remember that? Well, it looks like they're gaining. It really does. It's going to be interesting here in a little while, I'll tell you. But the hatred started with the devil. It's really against God. He's trying to bring in his kingdom, and politics, so-called today, worldwide, is trying to bring in globalism. The end time scenario is before us. I'm not going to turn to it, but if we were to read the last verse, I believe it's the last verse of Revelation 13, it says, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. We know the number 666 and so on. We're seeing some things today that tell us that all this is moving forward very, very rapidly now. For instance, and I don't know a lot about this, I just say something and maybe you know more about it than I do. Some of the signs of the end time, some of the signs is the number system. Folks, we already had numbers now. Did you know that? Basically, I had a banker here tell me years ago, preacher, we don't look at the signatures no more. He said, don't tell it, but I'm telling it. We don't look at the signatures near as often as we just look at your number. Your number now. I said, that's Bible. He believed the Bible. He said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. We're there. You ever hear the word cashless society? We're there, folks, very close. In fact, you can just cause trouble most of the time if you pull out green money to spend it. They expect you to put it on a card. Or you're waiting on the guy in front of you to get it on his card before you'd pay cash. And then it looks like you've done something wrong. I've asked more than one cashier, do you still take cash here? Because some of them don't. Well, it's cashless society. The number system is just with us already. End time scenarios abound everywhere. Not buy or sell without the mark or the name or the number. How many of you have heard the word cryptocurrency? Now, be careful raising your hand on this question. How many of you understand it? Very few of us. I don't know anybody that has ever been able to totally explain it to me. I know a little bit about it. You know, in the early America, the economy was based on what's called a barter system. I might trade you this one buggy horse for a mule that would plow. I got something you need, you got something equal value, we'll trade. A lot of that still goes on in the world, and truthfully, that's about the only way that takes care of inflation. Anybody understand what inflation is? Well, basically, you understand when your money don't buy what it used to, right? Same dollar, same $10 you're looking at, but when you see what you put in the bag, it's a lot less than it used to be. We call that inflation, very real. I've heard, and of course, we're kind of almost at war with Venezuela right now, but I have heard that their inflation rate right now is around 3,000, not 300, 3,000%. That means their money is just worthless, just worthless. That's where we could be heading also. They're going to cashless society because that's the number system that they're planning. A lot of things goes into building the global system. No borders is one of them, of course. The cashless society. Not buy or sell without the mark. Cryptocurrency is sometimes called, today we'll call it Bitcoin. Do you understand that word? Bitcoin. Bitcoin. That's a trade commodity now. Do you understand that if America sells some airplanes to another nation, that they don't exchange green money? That's all done with a computer. So basically, what is cryptocurrency? It's imaginary money, in a sense. It's something that they've agreed on, but it's just a transfer of numbers on a computer. For instance, I don't know exactly how I would explain it, but they have agreed now on a block of cryptocurrency, and I believe the block that nations have a block of this cryptocurrency and they trade back and forth with another nation. I'm trying to remember. I believe it's, I wrote a note somewhere if I'd find the note. Yes, it's 6,552 dollars. That's a block value, $6,552, and a block is called a Bitcoin. So this is the imaginary computer money going back and forth between the nations. In other words, we're getting to the place that green money you put up to save or you put in the can in the backyard, it won't be nothing but dust, won't be worth anything. This system moves in. I'm not planning on being here when it fully moves in. I'm planning on being with the Lord, but that's tribulation. We could honestly call it tribulation money, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency right now. You could call it that. You say, what are you saying? I'm not able to explain it totally to you, but I'm telling you the Bible's being fulfilled. Revelation 13:17 is now. Say it's coming. No, it's now. It's now. It's just growing all the time. And what it's going to finally produce, you ever hear of the Battle of Armageddon? You know the book of Revelation talks about that. But what that is a clash of kingdoms. Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom is finally going to have a clash in the end. Revelation chapter 19, Jesus is coming back with the armies of heaven. He's going to defeat the devil's forces, which will be mankind mustered against God, hatred of God, at what we would call the Battle of Armageddon. That's just the Valley of Megiddo over in Israel. It's a big place where the armies of the world, Napoleon said one time, as he stood on the mountain peak and looked at that big valley, he said, the armies of the world could fight here. That's what's going to happen. That's the Bible. He didn't know anything about the Bible, of course, but that's exactly what the Bible says. That's the location that'll take place. It'll be something. I'm going to be on the right side in that battle. I hope you are. Hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope you're living now in a world of love, not a world of hate. And by the way, our answer with the crowd that's hating us, not hate them back. Except by the grace of God, that'd be us. So we need to be a witness to them. And tell them about the Lord, even though they don't like to hear it. And they want to cuss you and fuss at you about saying anything godly or anything biblical, anything right. The truth of the matter is, we still have the obligation to be a witness even to those that are the enemies of God, even to Satan's side and Satan's crowd. But you know what's good about the clash of these kingdoms that's coming? God's kingdom is going to first call home his ambassadors. You know who God's ambassadors are? If you're saved, you are one. We're his ambassadors. Scripture says we beseech you by Christ to be ambassadors. What does that mean? It means I represent God's side and I take a message to the enemy. I'm trying to tell them in Christ's stead there's a way, better way. There's a way of love instead of hate. There's a way to be saved and go to heaven, not hell. And whether they want to hear that or not, there'll be a day they do want to hear it. And our job now as God's children is to keep on telling the truth. And I mentioned Charlie Kirk before. He seemed to be a great example of being able to calmly present the truth when they were railing upon him. We all ought to want to be that way, best we can. I remember one time I was trying to win a man to the Lord, and he was really vulgar and saying some bad stuff. And I told him, I said, you know something? God loves you enough. He's ignoring that and still giving you a chance. He didn't get saved that day when I left. He probably considered he hated me. But there was a day come that he got on a deathbed and he called for me. And I came and he still had a little life left in him. He apologized to me and he apologized to God. And he prayed and asked Jesus to come in his heart. So you think he got saved? I really believe he did. But he sure had a change of heart from the last time I'd seen him. That's what's going to happen with all the folks that are hating God. Amen. Time's up, I believe, brother. And officially, I'm through with John 15 now. Report today, 782. Maybe it'll grow a little bit here as the people come on in. Stay with us for the preaching service.